You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Your Ultimate Life today. You know, I use the word ultimate life. You can think of your dream life, your best job, your best health. All of that put together is available to you. I have a guest today, Joy, who's been on once before, and she's my business partner, same last name. She's also my better half. But we thought today we'd talk about some of the things that we're doing to create that ultimate life. Joy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be back again. Second time. Yay! I must have did a good job the first time then.
It was a good job the first time. Yay. So, you know, your ultimate life. Sometimes you and I have lots of conversation about whether or not that set of words means anything to people. So if you had to describe what that means in other words that might be resonate each with some different group, what would you call it?
It's like, suddenly I'm tongue-tied. It's like, you always ask the hard questions. But I think I said this last time. You always ask the hard questions. I guess it is your ultimate life. Is it your ultimate life? Your dream life? I think dream life does it sound like bigger more and ultimate life? I think they're similar, really. I think the dream maybe is even a bit bigger than my ultimate life.
Well, people, because I interview people not only for this show, but for the podcast and other things, I'm really committed to helping people identify and create that. And a lot of times people think only of cash. Well, if I have all the money in the world, then obviously I'll have the ultimate life.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, is it really an ultimate life if you can't pay your electricity bill? Like, that's not very ultimate to me. It's like, you may say, well, you know, I've got this higher purpose. Not if the electricity's not on. I mean, it's a little hard to get things done. So there's a balance there, maybe. But the basic thing is, you know, do what you want. You know, if the electricity bill isn't important to you and not paying it is your ultimate life and you get to sit on the beach and watch the waves all day, good for you. That's not my ultimate life, you know. So I think it's situational and it certainly depends on who the person is. I wouldn't think that a choice would be to, you know, not be able to do the things that you want to do. So doing the things that you want to do involves money typically, and depending on what it is, it may involve quite a bit of money. So there is a component that money does drive some many components of creating your ultimate life.
Yeah, Warren Buffett Warren Buffett is quoted as saying, you know, money isn't... you don't need money, but it's right up there with air or oxygen or something, you know, trying to say it isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen. So just before started, I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
People say, oh, it doesn't matter at all. It's like, yeah. Well, I don't know about that. And because, you know, people do want an iPhone or these shoes or that. I think people who say that doesn't matter at all, I don't believe it. I'm sure there's some people, but... They live somewhere else in some high mountaintop that's away from civilization, maybe. I don't know.
So what if you think about, we talked a little bit about this before, and you talked about freedom and you talked about all your hobbies. Just before we got on, you were talking about a new thing that you're doing to help people increase their visibility. Uh-huh. And, you know, this is all presupposed on the idea that somebody's doing something online, because otherwise visibility isn't important. But assuming whoever's watching this, assuming you want to be online, you want to be visible, and you have some kind of an internet presence intentional besides talking about the weekend parties, then visibility is important. So, Joy, what were you talking about this new thing you've been doing for a little while about visibility?
I've been talking about YouTube. You know, we have hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube. You've had, I think, three different channels, and I don't know how many hundreds of videos you have, but I'm talking upper hundreds, not lower hundreds, maybe even 1,000 videos. I don't know, but lots of videos and, you know, not as many views, really. I think if you add up all the views, it's quite a few, but for each video, it's not that great, or it hasn't been that great. And, you know, cracking that code to getting videos ranked is not easy. And I'd say that very few people really know how to do it and how to do it effectively. So, you know, I know someone who I trust really well. He's a very well-known marketer in the industry, probably, you know, the grandfather of marketing gurus kind of thing. And he's and what I love about him is that he's a geek, you know, and he wants to pick apart and find all the latest whatevers and really dig deep into the things and then repeat, and then share it with others. So that's what he did with his YouTube formula and strategy. And, you know, so I say, and other people say too, that, you know, if you're not visible on social media or even on the world, you are invisible. Now, if you want to be invisible, great. But if you do not want to be invisible, then you need to be visible and there are things you need to do. So for YouTube, what is it about YouTube? What makes YouTube ranking so difficult? I think because YouTube, you know, the algorithms change, the components change, you know, they're making changes all the time to make it a better experience for the viewer, for the person who's on YouTube looking for stuff to do or looking for stuff to watch. Now, the prime goal of YouTube is to keep you on YouTube. They don't want you to go to some other platform, go here, go there, go to your website. They don't want you. What they want you to do is they want you to watch a video and then another video and then another video and then just on and on. So that's what they want you to do. They want you to stay on the platform. So when it comes to ranking videos, there are some key components: your title, your thumbnail, your tags, your description. There are tools to help you analyze these components. TubeBuddy is a big one. I use that. I love TubeBuddy. And there's another one called vidIQ. And we actually were introduced to these products, which were quite new, several years ago at VidSummit. That was Daryl Eves. He started that one, the YouTube guru. And so in analyzing these things, for example, a thumbnail based on our hundreds of videos, ones that have a face in it do better than ones that don't have a face in it. Now, that's valuable information. So now when it came to ranking the videos, I took one of your videos that you put up 2 years ago. It was just a random video. I thought, okay, what video should I do? And I was like, oh, morning routines are popular. Let's do that one. So I took that video. I renamed it. I added a very slight variation to the thumbnail. I think I had a very almost tone on tone, your ultimate life, little logo in the corner. I added the tags according to SEO principles. What else did I do to it? You know, and then I reposted it. So it happened in very short time. I'm talking a few minutes. It rose to the top of that keyword phrase, morning routine for productivity. And if you just Google that phrase, there's millions and millions of returns that come up. On YouTube, we went to number one. Now, this was May 9th, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I did this. I looked at, checked the stats again, and the analytics were at the top still. Not number one, but we're like three or four. And it fluctuates because people are putting up videos all of the time. When I looked at my SEO ranking, it was 90 out of 100. Now, why is that important to have your video at the top of YouTube? You're thinking, well, how is that going to help me, you know, making rain or the rainmaker? How's that going to put cash in my pocket? Well, you're visible. Because again, I said, if you're not visible, you're invisible. The likelihood that a person who's searching for a morning routine, you know, best morning routine, is not going to scroll endlessly. They're going to stop at, you know, maybe the first 10 or so, some kind of thumbnail that catches their fancy. They're going to stop and they're going to look at that video. They're not going to keep scrolling forever. So if there's a million videos on morning routine, if you're not in the top 10, you might as well just forget it. As I've been consistently tracking that over these past couple of weeks, we're still up there and the views are increasing. Now, that's important because if they're looking at the video And, you know, have to take a look at the viewer retention and get into those analytics. But they're seeing it. They're seeing Kellen Flukiger, Your Ultimate Life, Ultimate Life Formula. And then another video goes up another day at the top of YouTube in that phrase, Kellen Flukiger, Kellen Flukiger, Kellen. You know, and if you keep, if you keep seeing Kellen, Kellen, Kellen everywhere, one of these times the hope is, right, that somebody will then look into your description and go, huh, if this is his free stuff, wonder what else Kellen does. Let me take a look. And then in your description, have a call to action, for goodness sakes, whether it's just sending somebody to your website for an opt-in to get a free whatever. If you don't have a free whatever, make one. It doesn't have to be a 200-page manual of something, a checklist, a cheat sheet, something that a person can just easily put in their email, download, print it off, and go, okay, now what do I do? And so that they can get a result. So that's why that's important. And when you also tie that in with seeing where that video then will rank on Google, so you go to google.com and you type in that same information, that keyword phrase, and you see where you line up. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if people are sophisticated enough at this with Google, but when you go to google.com, often what will come up in a search is something for a local business. You know, if you're looking at, you know, best dry cleaner in Wichita, that, you know, it'll come up for a location. But if you're searching for a video, then certainly go to the video tab, because otherwise you're going to get all sorts of stuff that you're really not interested in. And if you're looking for an image, same thing, just go to the specific tag in google.com. It'll come up. Do you want to search images? Do you want to search a video? So when I put in just a regular random google.com search, re-ranked high, what, page 5, which isn't great because people aren't going to scroll down, but on the video, we were at the top again. So if you consistently do that with each of your videos and you rank high, the likelihood with repetition is that your phone will start to ring or people will opt in. They will make an appointment. They will buy your product, your service, or at least certainly they'll look into it a bit more because they're going to see you over and over and over again. It won't happen tomorrow, likely, that somebody's going to pick up the phone and say, hey, yeah, I want to buy your top program. Be nice if it would, but it usually doesn't. But if they keep seeing you day after day, week after week, it's like, gosh, this Kellen's videos are always everything I search for. And because we're in personal development, we got a lot of, you know, keyword phrases that we're looking to rank for. So the likelihood that somebody will search for morning routine for productivity or morning routine for whatever it is, it, you know, for weight loss, for energy, for whatever it is, the likelihood that our videos will be 1, 2, 3, 4 are very high. So it's unbelievably exciting to see those results, you know, and I'm going to market that as a service that I provide because I think it's brilliant. I think it's a no-brainer that if I can't imagine why nobody would, why wouldn't a business want their videos ranked at the top of YouTube and then be at the top of Google? Like, I see a clear path to cash, but depending on where people are on their journey with digital marketing, they may not have built that bridge. And do I have to build that bridge for them? So that, you know, there's other things that come into play then. But certainly, I think it's certainly a no-brainer that if you're at the top, because if you're at the bottom, you can rest assured that your phone won't be ringing, no one's opting in, no one's watching your stuff. If you got no views, then you are invisible. So this kind of breakthrough, and this is coming after years of, you know, paying people who say they're experts and giving them, you know, thousands of dollars a month. I'm talking just, you know, rank your video for a few hundred dollars. I used to spend $6,000 a month and I didn't get one client, barely got any opt-ins, still don't have any views on those videos. So I'm going to take those same videos and I'm going to do a test and I'm going to say, see, before and after, look at the difference. Those are to me, the best kind of, you know, self-testimonials that you do it yourself and you're like, well, here's the proof. Now, you know, what is then the further result going into the analytics? That's going to be the key. So I never used to be excited about YouTube analytics. It was like, oh my goodness, boring. But when you have a video that ranks high, when you're getting lots of views, then it's exciting to see, okay, what can I improve upon this? What can I, where are people dropping off, or are people staying to the end? You know, then you start to get a little bit deeper into those different analytics that for a lot of clients, that'll be further down the road for them. But I think at the outset, get it to the top, get that phone ringing or that opt-in button pressing, and away you go. That was a very long-winded response.
Well, that's okay. So you're talking, it is exciting, and I'm excited too, and, you know, we're partners and doing this business. But this, and, not but anything, and, this is, you're talking about a specific video that you did, yeah. But you've repeated it now with several. So this isn't
absolutely
a one lucky shot kind of thing.
Nope, it's not.
You've been able to
shot
do it repeatedly. So we're going to hold a challenge. Our company is going to hold a challenge, and it's, you know, it's part of this program. Like, I have this goal. We together have a goal of reaching 50 million people this year.
Yep.
And we're already to that, but we're going to go to 100. We're trying to by October, since we reached it sooner than we thought. But one of the things we're going to do is to create a challenge. And what I challenge, I mean a short period of 5 days where we meet with people an hour a day to try to help them identify what's in the way of creating their dream life. Now, rather than talk about our challenge, which we're going to do, and if you're interested, follow us on social and you'll find it. But rather than talk about that right now, Joy, what do you think is the story that people have about that dream life? Because I ask people regularly, are you happy? Some people say, oh, yeah, things are pretty good. And then when they add those qualifiers, you know that they're trying to just give the answer like, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, things are pretty good. But when I drill down, because I'm a coach and I ask that stuff, are you actually really happy? Is everything good in your life? Nobody says yes. Well, you know, there's a few things. What do you think the story is, or the stories are, that people have about why they can't have that dream life, that ultimate life, where they're really happy with their life every day? It's exciting and they're happy. What's in the way of making that happen?
Probably the stories they tell themselves. And, you know, and the thing is, though, there may be issues that somebody has every day. Maybe there is some little thing that bugs them. I mean, nobody's life is perfect. You know, if you could think of the person, you think, oh, I bet their life is perfect. Their life isn't perfect. Everybody has challenges. Everybody has speed bumps. Everybody has roadblocks or barriers or whatever you want to call those, any of those things. But I think it's how you, not only how you deal with them, but how do you look at them? Do you see them as an insurmountable challenge or barrier or block that you cannot possibly overcome? Okay, well, then your life probably isn't that perfect. But if you see challenges as, okay, just like with my YouTube thing, I thought, oh, YouTube, you know, I know I can do it myself, just like I taught myself with Facebook ads, how to crack the code and get opt-ins to things. You know, perseverance and looking at it like, huh, this is a setback. This is not what I expected, but I'm going to regroup and I'm going to do something different, tweak this, tweak that, do whatever, and I want to get a different result. And if you keep focusing on that, on the positives, on the highlights, instead of always the negative, you know, there's some TV shows that are like that. It's always, you know, the downer or whatever. It's like, always, yeah, but yeah, well, doesn't. And, you know, that's not inspiring. I don't want to be around people like that because it's a downer, right? I want to be around the person who is seeking to make things better and overcome the challenges and blocks and barriers and not be bound by some type of criteria that somebody says we have to be in. So, you know, are we happy all the time? I mean, I can't say I'm unhappy. I'm happy. You know, and again, of course there's things that I want to change or do something different, or why aren't my videos, you know, why don't I have X number of views on something? Well, that's going to take time and that takes work. And I have to go in and see what it is to make the improvement. But I certainly don't see this as backsliding or, gosh, I'm not happy. Or I don't subscribe to the I'll be happy when, you know. I remember years and years ago, I was going to go on a trip, quite a large, big European trip by myself. probably a month or two, can't remember how long it is. I remember, you know, my parents were saying to me, yeah, but you know, you could wait for, you know, whatever it is. And I thought, well, what am I going to wait for? Like, why don't I go right now? I want to go now. I'm going to go now. So I did. And then I used to go like every year after that, you know, so living in the, I'll be happy when, I don't subscribe to that at all. And, you know, you choose to, you make your own happiness. Nobody, I mean, last time I looked, you know, in free countries, nobody's, you know, there aren't bars on the, well, maybe there are bars on the windows where you live. I don't know. But, you know, we are free to do what we want to do. Happiness is a choice, and you can look for the joy in things. Just like you had a guest, Iyanla Van Zandt. She was amazing. And, you know, she had a lovely pair of earrings, and she was talking about how, you know, the person who made these earrings made them because, you know, the joy and love that they wanted to provide somebody else, because somebody bought those earrings, Iyanla, and it gives her joy and pleasure and happiness. So you can find happiness and joy wherever you are doing whatever. It's just, do you choose to do that? That's all.
It seems to me that there's this huge mix up, and maybe people mean to mix it up. I don't know. But there's an equation that says being happy means I have everything I want and everything like I want. And unless I have everything I want and everything like I want, I can't be happy. And that seems to me to be the driver for I'll be happy when all these things are so. And what I'm hearing you say is you can be happy regardless of whether or not you have everything you want or everything like you want. And that's a choice. And you can be happy even if you're working on some of these other things. Maybe you don't like your job and it isn't the dream job. But that doesn't mean you can't be happy and do a great job, because that's who you are, while you build a side hustle or look for something else to do.
Right. Yeah.
So is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely.
So why don't we do that? Because there's so much of finger pointing, externality, blaming government, politics, rotten politicians, this party, that party, the weather, the pandemic, the universe, everything, it's that fault. And therefore, I can't have what I want. I'm not happy. Why are we living like that, you think?
Lack of control. You know, I mean, I know people like that. You know people like that. It's just, you know, they're stuck in either the past or this old paradigm. They're stuck that, you know, they can't envision that maybe somebody else has moved on and is happy, and oh, they must be lying, they're not telling the truth. You know, some people I've known a person who, you know, they're all happy for you they're happy if they see that you're maybe not happy, or maybe there's something going on in your life that gives them kind of a strange joy or pleasure. I don't know. I don't like to hang out with people who are like that. So I make a choice not to have people like that in my life. Family, friends, I don't care who you are. You know, I want a half full person. I want the optimist. Not to say that issues don't come up, but problems are solvable. You know, no matter what they are, really, every problem has a solution. You know, and how you deal with them, how you look at them, why some people choose not to do that, there are reasons. I don't know what those reasons are. I don't even know that they know what those reasons are. They're still stuck somewhere, and they see you moving on and happy, and that just bugs the crap out of them. You know, can't be true. They're lying. It's not really, it's fake, whatever it is. You know, peace and freedom to you. Go live your life and be miserable. That's okay. Over there. Bye.
One of the things that I've heard you say that is, I think, true, I don't think it's explored enough. And this goes right to the core of the choice to be happy.
Yeah.
And the thing I say on all my Road to 50 Million, like I do those Road to 50 Million videos every day. And I do them 10 or 15 minutes, and they're designed to be encouraging and talk about possibilities and positivity and that sort of thing. Something that you said or have said many times is, well, they're staying in this place Someone stays in a place of misery because there's a payoff there.
Absolutely.
There's some kind of a payoff to being the martyr, being the victim, staying in misery, living, I'll be happy when. Mm-hmm. What talk about this. What are they afraid of so that the payoff for staying miserable? And I realize you're speculating. What I'm hoping is that people that are listening might look at themselves and say, am I choosing misery? Am I choosing to blame others, people, circumstances, and things outside myself when I could otherwise choose to be happy? And one of the reasons people do that is because they're comfortable and it's some kind of payoff.
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, you know, I mean, if I go back to, you know, let's say people that you know, you know, family members, whatever, you know, they're some people are just stuck where they are. And that, you know, misery loves company kind of adage is true for them. So if they're not, I mean, how can they be happy? I mean, you're happy. How can that be because of X, Y, Z? You did this or you did that or whatever it is. You know, why can't they move on? Why can't they move forward? You know, why are they stuck listening to that trash in their head and making it become a reality? Because it is becoming a reality for them. I can't imagine that's happy to be in their shoes. You know, I find it's a little bizarre. I'm not a psychologist and, you know, I mean, you know, when you watch some of these programs with these psychologists and there is, people do get a payoff, you know, when you engage with somebody, there is the payoff. So they continue to behave in a certain way because they are getting something out of it. And if you, another person, chooses not to play along with it, you either stop talking to them or you change the subject of, you know, whatever it is, you know, two things are going to be, probably a couple of things are going to happen. A, that person's, you know, person A, the grumpy person, is going to continue to stay mad at you and probably cut you out of their life. Or B, maybe somewhere they might think, is there a different way? Is there a better way that I could be doing this? Because if they're not getting the payoff anymore, I'll guarantee you that they'll stop that behavior. Now, they may continue with other people, but they're certainly going to stop it with you if you decide and if you choose not to play along or not play that game. You know, I mean, at a certain point, you know, the responsibility is on me whether I want to accept, you know, bad behaviors or not. Then that's me. Am I willing to accept this and stay in a relationship or have some sort of business arrangement or whatever it is with a person I would consider to be abusive or not happy or complains too much and you know, just not happy? Then if I choose to stay, then I have to, you know, adapt, and I don't want to do that. I've certainly had clients like that, and it's like, oh boy, you know, I'm not paid enough to put up with that kind of crap. So let them stay in their misery. You know, maybe they want to move along, but oftentimes I think there's also probably some deep-seated things that are going on that we're just going to take a long time to unravel. You know, let's say they're 50 years old. Maybe they were like that for 20 or 30 years. It's going to take another 20 or 30 years, maybe, if they start now, to unravel all that nonsense. Probably quicker with a therapist or some sort of intervention, but a lot of people like to stay stuck.
You know, so I want to change the topic completely. Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Were you done?
But it's just that you can sometimes see like that. It's like there's a clear line of demarcation and you can just see it. You know, you can see that, you know, if you haven't been around someone for a while and they were, you know, grumpy or sad or angry or whatever all the time. And then you see that person when they're still like that, it's like, wow, like, you know, that line of demarcation is so dark or bright or pronounced that it just becomes, you know, mind blowing that it's like, wow, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. Go ahead.
One of the things that I really liked about you from the beginning, and for those that don't know, Joy and I are married, and we have been for nearly 16 years. And one of the things that I learned about her as we got acquainted was that you, Joy, had done so many different things. And so I talk in The Ultimate Life, create your ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity and joy by serving with your divine gifts. Now, gifts might be your talents. It might be skills you've developed.
Yeah.
It might be empathy and insight you've developed because you've been through cancer or the death of a loved one or some other kinds of struggle. But those, the skills and talents that you either have that are like thought of as talents or that you've developed because of life circumstances are your superpower. Now, you have done tons of things to make a living over the years and just amaze me continually. I still, in our conversations, you refer to something you've done that I didn't know after all these years. So just for a minute, I want you to think back through your life and without trying to be chronological or anything, what kinds of things, and the reason I'm doing this is because I want each person to listen. Joy has taken care of herself. She hasn't lived with, you know, anything. She wasn't a trust fund baby. She didn't have any of that stuff. She was on her own and took care of herself very well so that she could take vacations to Europe and everything else. And I'm bragging about her a little. But I want her to tell you some of the things that she did. So what kinds of things have you chosen that made you happy to do for work?
Well, let's see. I think I'll talk about the happiest place on earth. I worked at Disney World for a time. It was the cultural exchange program. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, years later, I am still friends with several of the people that I worked with there. You know, it's a bond that, you know, where you're thrown into a situation unlike any other, you know, with people, you're living with people from around the world. And it's, you know, you're only basically hanging out with other Disney people. So it really is a club, not like the Mickey Mouse Club, but it's a club. And that, what did that gain? You know, the pay wasn't really good, you know, but I certainly learned about different cultures. I learned about different places that I thought I'd like to visit and just meeting and being with people from other countries. That cultural experience was very real and very interesting and very exciting. And I thought, wow, that would be, I'd like to go there. And I've stayed friends with, you know, some of the international people that I worked with, you know, from Germany, from France, from Italy, you know, all over the place. And I think it just gave an appreciation as to, and they still continue that program today, as to why, you know, as to have a multicultural experience in a concentrated venue in a particular period of time. And I think that was some of those life skills gained were quite invaluable as well. That was a fun one. You know, I taught figure skating. You know, I was a lifelong figure skater since like the age of 4 or something. And I decided that I wanted to teach figure skating. So I started doing that because I was good at it. And well, I was good at skating. So you can't teach figure skating if you can't skate. There are some, you know, sports maybe that you can get away with, you know, figure skating's a little hard. Okay. Not that I have to do a triple axel to be able to teach someone, but I certainly needed to know how to at least execute a single axel. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, what skills do you gain coaching? Well, you're a coach. A sports coach is a little bit different, but you have to be motivating. You have to always accentuate the positive. I actually studied coaching at university, sports coaching at university. And, you know, one of the key principles is always, and that should be in life, is you accentuate the positive. So to a 6-year-old or to a 40-year-old who's learning skating, you know, no, you're doing it all wrong. You don't do that because that crushes everybody. But, you know, you kind of hold back and you think, okay, great. I love the way you X, because you can always find something. I love the way you stood on your feet and didn't fall down. You know, next time, you know, pull your arms in tight when you're doing, you know, either a spin or a jump or something. So there's always something, you know, that you can say about that. And I think that's always stayed with me, that accentuate the positive. And that was from, you know, my university days learning to be a sports coach. You know, so those are a couple of the ones that I think that I've tended to pursue that are, I'm not into, you know, I didn't want to be an account. I worked in a bank one time as some work experience for school. I absolutely hated it. You know, great for those people who love working in that environment, but it's just not for me. I think, you know, the regimented, too many rules, that kind of stuff is just not for me. You know, when we used to take these interest tests, many of the interests that would come back for me were like, huh, Joy should be an artist. And, you know, every parent everywhere is groaning inwardly because it's like, how do you make a living doing that? You know, and then the other thing, it wasn't, there was artists and then forget lawyer. It just said go right to judge. Maybe that's because I'm a Libra. I don't know the balance, the scales, but it said, yeah, you know, artist, judge. I thought, yeah, right on. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know about the judge part, but because I think you got to be a lawyer first before you become a judge. But anyway, the artist part I certainly have embraced because I've always enjoyed that. You know, in school, I've done little things, you know, sold the most of this or, you know, been the most outgoing for that. And you know, just those tiny bits of developing a person's personality. And I think, you know, that's why I am outgoing because I've, you know, like to put myself in situations where, you know, I get a new crop of people to, you know, to talk to and to be with. So those are just a couple of the things. You know, I think even the job that I had, you know, as a project manager in the energy industry was interesting and creative. Now you're thinking, how can energy, project management, you know, business plans be creative? It is because writing, you're communicating with other people, you're finding ways to be persuasive in your writing and make it an impact on, you know, policy in a province like Alberta. Energy policy. So that was really interesting. I really enjoyed, I can't say that I hated really any of the jobs that I've ever had. I used to work not like full-time always, but I would take, you know, register with a temporary agency and get temp jobs that fit in with my university schedule because, you know, I would work here or there or summer, that kind of thing. And I just had some really interesting positions and met some really cool people over the years. And often they were small companies, business people, construction companies or whatever. And I just felt that I gained a lot of insights, skills, you know, certainly adaptability when you're working in different places all the time. You have to adapt and fit in immediately. I think I'm really good at that. I just take it in and I think, okay, how can I make this experience, whether I'm here for 2 weeks or 2 months, the best possible experience? Often on those temp jobs, I would be asked to stay on because, you know, unfortunately, would outshine the person who is on vacation or maternity leave or whatever it was. So it's like, yeah, well, yeah, it's fine for short term, but not full time.
Something, yeah. I know about you is you've mentioned a couple of things.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask that is because so many people, when I talk with them about creating the life they want, they list all the reasons they can't, obligations, and they got to pay this and job and, you know, all of the things. And I wanted to highlight several more things that I know, and you don't have to talk about each one, but I know that you were very successful in a couple of different multi-level marketing things where you created a lot of success, enrolled a lot of people, had a downline, were really diligent, thought of creative ways. Yeah. So you did that. I know that the temp thing, some people look at that as, ooh, temp, because what's Matt, can't you get a job?
I know, you can't get a job.
And you did it on purpose.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned university, but what people need to understand is you were going to university for decades at different things, you know, different things, right? You studied art and design and construction. You were a website builder. I mean, there's just boatloads of things that you've done.
Science. Mm-hmm.
So I want you to tie that together. How does giving in, I'll say giving in, because every person, you, me, and everybody listening to this, has a yearning to do something they love. You know, so many people complain about they're a cog in the machine and they're corporate this and, oh, I was in corporate for something like that's a disease. And maybe it is. You didn't do that, even though you had some corporate jobs and you chose to run all over the place and do this for a year and do that for 5 years and this for 5 minutes and do all that. And do you feel at this time like that has been rich and rewarding and good for you? Or do you look back and say, ooh, I should have done this corporate thing for X years?
No, I think it was absolutely rewarding. I you know, chose my path. I chose to do these things and not those things. And I'm very happy with the choices that I made. You know, I have no complaints about it. I loved working for Disney. I loved that, you know, one summer I decided to move to Toronto and I was going to school there, but I was also working full time. And that was cool and exciting because I was in the big city of Toronto. And, you know, it was just really on a whim that I did that. I thought, huh, that might be kind of fun to do. And I think having the freedom to do that and the confidence to do that is something that maybe people are lacking today. And that, you know, you're 40 or 50 or 30 and no confidence in many people. It's just almost shocking that they're afraid to step out there and put their toe in. What are you waiting for? You know, no one's going to come knocking on your door and dragging you out to whatever it is. That's not going to happen. If we think that's going to happen, you're deluded. It's not going to happen. So you have to put yourself out there, like it or not. That is a thing.
And so you're an expert at that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just you got to find the things that give you that joy and give you that pleasure. And if it's but if it's not pushing you further ahead, then you got to ask yourself, why are you doing it? You know, there are some things, I know it's popular in some circles, especially in life coaching circles, or that, you know, people go for these extreme experiences doing whatever it is, you know, running naked in the desert or doing some strange stuff. It's like, okay, if you really want to do that, but shouldn't there be somewhat of a point to it, unless it's a vacation, unless it's you're doing it just for fun, I guess. But I would think that the experiences that you choose to do would somehow move you further along the line or the path that you set out. I'm assuming that people have a path that they're on, or a goal somewhere at the end of something that they're like to achieve. Maybe not a 10-year goal, but what about a 90-day goal? Is there something, what are you doing that's going to get you to that goal line at least, and look to a year, 2 years, 5 years ahead? You know, I've got those. You've got those.
You know, what do you hope to do? Summer's getting ready to start here in just a little while. So 90-day goals. What are you going to have done in 90 days? And how did you think of it? And what would you say to people? How would you help them to step out there? They're afraid and they're living in this idea of failure and fear and embarrassment. And yet you just said, well, we have to step out there and take these risks because it isn't coming in an Amazon box.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
So what would you say to help people get... Yeah, a book about it. There you go. Thank you. That was funny. A book about it will come in Amazon, but it won't do it for you.
It's not going to do it for you.
No. What would you tell me if I come to you and I hear your story and I just want to be like you, but I'm scared because I don't know that it'll work, or I think, oh, whatever. You know the stories. What would you say?
Well, okay. What if it doesn't work? Like, who cares? Like, does it really matter? If you're doing it because, you know, maybe somebody else is going to be mad at you if it doesn't work, or, you know, your brother or mother or sister or cousin or neighbor is going to think it's a stupid idea. So what? They don't have to do it. First thing is to listen to yourself. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? Do you want to learn skydiving? I don't. No interest at all. Do you want to learn how to cook? Maybe, you know, you might want to become a baker or something. So why not take those classes or watch cooking shows or whatever? You're not going to know until you try. And, you know, and somebody could say, well, none of those things interest me. Surely something interests you. There's a billion things to do, 10 billion things. There must be something that is of some interest to somebody. You know, I'm blessed. I guess I have lots of stuff that I want to do. It's just a matter of parsing time and creating time to, you know, fit those in. But, you know, you got to just take that first step. You have to look in yourself, look in the mirror, and, you know, what would I like to create in 90 days? Do I want to make $1,000? Do I want to make $10,000? Have you ever made $10,000 before? Is that even possible right now? Or is that going to be your second or third goal? So you do need to start small.
I saw a thing the other day that Gary Vaynerchuk said in some video that he has, and I see those a lot because I watch his stuff, and, you know, we had the chance to meet him. Yeah, I know. We had the chance to meet him at a conference. Really cool. I was an MC. But anyway, he said 99% of the people who judge you don't know anything about you.
Right.
And yet... we live in fear or worry about those judgments. And what he said was true. Even those that know you don't really know what's going on in your heart, your life, your worries, your aspirations, or anything else. So why do you think we live in fear of judgment? And not only why do you think, but what shall we do about it?
Why do we? I mean, why does a perfect stranger's opinion matter more than someone? Okay, take two people. A complete stranger says that, you know, your video sucks. You know, your significant other or close friend or your mother or whoever it is says, I love that. That really spoke to me. Why do we spend so much time and effort on the person who says it sucks? Like, who are they? Who cares? Maybe all they do all day long and all the live long day is write negative comments on people's social media. We've had that. And it's like, you know, crazy. It just bizarre. Like, why spend their time doing that? But you're never going to change that. There always going to be somebody who does that. But why do we listen to the person, the negative stuff? Is it because deep down in our own minds, we think maybe it's true. Maybe it does suck. Maybe I can't do this. You know, kids don't have that kind of fear, do they? I mean, they just go to the edge of the swimming pool and they just jump on to the deep end. You know, lifeguards nearby usually. So, you know, usually works out well. But, you know, why do we listen to that negative person? You've done it. I've done it. And then, I mean, finally you come around and you say, wait a second. That is just, that's bizarre. That's weird. I'm not going to do that anymore. Why am I listening to this? Whoever, their opinion doesn't matter. They're not paying my bills. They're not putting money into my pocket. They're likely never going to be a client. So why should I give a beep about what they think? I'd rather focus on people who enjoy it, like it, want to talk to me, want to know more, want to go further, whatever it is. Not, I mean, you just discount the no's. You know, Brian Tracy, years ago, I went to one of his events and he said, you know, each no is a step closer to a yes, but yet we focus on the no's and maybe I've got to change something. I guess if you get 1,000 no's, maybe you might have to tweak something, but you know, if they're just random people, who cares what they think?
So we've got just 2 or 3 minutes left, and I want you to just give a final thought of encouragement to anyone that's listening who has heard me talk about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Because you and I, we live that. We enjoy it. We create our time and schedule. We help as many people as we can. And so we're examples of people who have done it and who have waded through all the trouble you can imagine to get there. So what are the last words of encouragement and love that you would give to someone wondering if this is true for them?
You know, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, even with our own interests, we don't have exactly the same likes. Like, you're a composer, you sit at your piano and your keyboard, you create music. I don't. You know, that's not my thing. That's not my shtick. I like music. I love music. I like singing, but I'm not the person who creates that. You do. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I have my own interests that I love to pursue. They may not be yours, but that's okay. So what do you need to do today to decide that, to make that choice? It's a blank, think of it as a blank canvas. So, or your Harry Potter wand or whatever. So if, when we get up in the morning, often we can choose what we want to do. So what do you want to do tomorrow? Maybe tomorrow you do just want to stay in bed eating bonbons, watching TV. Go ahead. I wouldn't suggest that to do that every day because that's not really going to push you forward or get you to the goal that you want to create. But, you know, you do need to at least look inside and say, okay, where do I want to go from here? Take a 90-day goals are the best because 3 months, they're usually small enough that they're achievable, that you can, at the end of the 9 days, you can say, I did it. I got a win. Now I'm going to go further. So, you know, take your time, look in yourself. Don't listen to other people. You know, most of us know what we want to do, our likes and dislikes. Let's just start to pursue them one day at a time.
Joy, I want to thank you for another fun conversation about possibility, about opportunity, and sharing some of the things you've done in your life with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. I hope to be back soon.
All right. Well, I want all of you to take a look at your own lives. Like I talk about creating your ultimate life, a life that you choose, a life you love every day, a life that is fun, that uses the gifts that you have. Yes, you can make a living doing what you love. Yes, you can help people around you. Yes, you can overcome any obstacle, but you're going to do nothing if you don't start. So start now. Listen to this again. Understand where it applies to you and take that first step and then the next and then the next as you move forward to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.